Do you want to know what's really fun about being a woman?
This is starting to sound like a Shania Twain song.
Man, I feel like I'm in perimenopause. Ugh, the brain fog, the mood swings, the night sweats, the unpredictable cycles. Many women enter perimenopause and they don't even realize what's happening to their body, and it's directly impacting how they're making major life decisions.
You get divorce strategy on this podcast, but when it comes to strategy for what's happening inside your body, our friends at Natural Cycles are here to help. Their new app mode, NC Perimenopause, within the Natural Cycles app interprets those hormonal shifts with data and science.
So I'm currently using the app and the intel is fascinating. It doesn't just track symptoms. It helps me see patterns and it helps me connect the dots between my hormones, my symptoms, and my lifestyle. It even estimates what stage of perimenopause I'm in. I love that it helps me better understand what's going on with my body and why I have days where it's more difficult to make decisions than others. And that clarity really matters. You can even download a personalized report that you can bring to your doctor, which makes those appointments way more productive.
Natural Cycles is a female-founded digital health company that analyzes biomarker data to help users better understand their cycles. NC Perimenopause is for anyone experiencing or anyone who thinks they may be experiencing perimenopause, from the first hormone-related changes to your cycle or symptoms all the way until menopause, when your periods stop. Learn more and give it a shot right alongside Andrea.
Yes, let's do this thing together. You are not alone in your divorce or this transition. There are tools to help you make sense of what your body is doing. Visit naturalcycles.com and use code DIVORCE. Or tap the link in the show notes to learn more about how you can save on a subscription.
Well, well, well. Time has come for another episode of How Not to Suck at Divorce. I am Andrea Rappaport.
And I am Morgan Stockstill.
And we have got a killer episode for you today, if we do say so ourselves.
So many of the difficult issues in court, other people have resolved out of court on their own.
And this is How Not to Suck at Divorce. Like, whoa.
Like top seller, whoa.
Like change your life, whoa. So before we start changing lives, let's give everyone a little bit of insight into what's going on in our lives. So how was your week, Morgan?
My week was wonderful. And maybe we just hop into the rom-com and the horror film. What do you think?
Tell me, give it to
me. Okay, I'm giving it to you.
The rom-com and the horror movie.
Here we go. The best part of my week was that I got to go out of the country. Not to make you feel really jealous, because I know you haven't had a vacation in 19 years. But the not so great part of my week was that we recorded this episode, the meat of this episode, because our guest had limited availability and we wanted to get him on so badly that we recorded it while I was out of the country. So the caveat is, everyone, I'm sorry if the audio isn't absolutely perfect. We did our best, but the meat of this episode is so killer that it's worth it, right?
Right. You took one for the team and you zoomed in from your hotel room in like beachwear that you then wrapped yourself in a robe. So it was not to offend our guest, but yeah, you really did. And I have to say, that's how big our guest is. Like the fact that you were like, I'm out of the country, but I'm going to work at whatever time it was, wherever you were, you were like, I'm doing this. So you're yeah. Player there, Morgan.
I appreciate that. And I will say that your robe story was totally accurate. I was wearing a robe because my beachwear was not appropriate. And I was trying to get this recording done and come off the beach. And I was like, wow, I do not look professional whatsoever. And the only thing I could find was a robe to cover myself. And Andrew was like, yeah, you should probably put that on.
And I will start with my horror film. Was that same day when we recorded, there were so many moving parts of where is Morgan going to be? Where is Andrea going to be? Where is this big deal hot shot guest going to be? When we recorded that yours truly got the time wrong. And I put in my calendar that we were recording at 8:30 in the morning when really it was 8:30 Pacific time. And what's weird is I don't know when I accepted an invite to the recording, it put it in for that time. Like it didn't even correct itself. So, and I had a whole entire day booked. I'm in the middle of launching a new business. And so I was shooting video that day. I had clients after that. And it was a disaster that we resolved, thank goodness. But that was my horror of the entire week, was that I realized last minute when I texted you the night before. And I'm like, hey, Morgan, just so you know, I have a hard stop at 10. And you're like, 10? You're not starting until 10:30. I'm like,
I felt you. I felt all your stress over the text chain. I was like, oh, here we go. And you're right, because I was out of the country, you're in Chicago, and our guest, the bless his heart, is in California. So talk about time differences. We are all over the map.
Oh my gosh. I was so
what's your best thing?
Okay, my best thing was actually really sweet. So I don't know that I've ever mentioned this before, but my boyfriend and his son take kung fu lessons together. Like that's like their like favorite form of like exercise. You know, they do kung fu, for those of you who don't know, it's kind of like karate, but like different. And this past week, Steve's son was testing for a new level to be like advanced into like, you know, they have like levels of this. And he asked me to come to watch him.
Oh, that's so
and
sweet.
It was really sweet. His mom couldn't come because she was sick. And I was already dropping him off there. But when I dropped him off, he's like, would you come in and watch me? And he's 13, so he's like a big kid. He doesn't need, you know, someone there to watch him, but he wanted me to be there. And I thought that was so sweet. And it was a really nice moment. And related to what we're talking about in the meat of our episode today, it's really nice to see the progress that you're making, you know, in your own personal story, right? Going from a place where you are trying to get out of a bad marriage and you're going through all of this contentious, you know, BS with your ex. And now you're in a place where you're watching your new relationships, you know, flourish, and you're watching your boyfriend's son pass a kung fu level.
I'm impressed. I think you guys have come a long way, and kudos to Steve's ex-wife as well, because whatever you're doing over there is really working, and it's beautiful that his son can accept you for who you are and also still hold a special place for his mother. And that's the thing that I always tell people is, look, everyone has a place. Just because you're around, you're not his mom, you'll never be his mom.
Never, never. I think that is such an important message. And the other takeaway as we move into this next segment is that I do want everyone to know that I am learning some kung fu on the side, so that if I ever need to use it on someone, you know, I've got some moves. So, you know, if maybe I'm not going to be using my words, people better watch out.
I would like to see that, and maybe you could do a reel of your kung fu moves.
You know, I think that's an excellent idea. I really do.
Good. Well, let's just hop right into it, because my excitement level, you'll hear me more on the actual interview, but my excitement level with this guest, the fact that he wanted to come on our podcast, agreed to come on, and made time in his insanely busy schedule was mind-blowing, and that's why we pretty much dropped everything and filmed this right away wherever we were, because that's how excited we are. And
this is a savable episode, you guys.
Agreed. And it gives you the tools that you need to stay sane, right?
100%. Okay, let's do it. Listeners, take note. You will want to remember everything that you are about to hear in this interview.
Exactly, because today we have the distinct honor of talking to Mr. Bill Eddy. Bill is a lawyer, therapist, mediator, keynote speaker, and the author of over 16 books relevant to high conflict and divorce. His books are all over Amazon, and his sweet spot is managing disputes with high conflict people and personality types, including narcissistic, borderline, antisocial, histrionic, and paranoid personality disorders. Not like anybody knows anything about that, right? He has trained over 200,000 professionals, including many divorce lawyers and judges in 10 countries, on managing these high conflict disputes. He is here, and honestly, I couldn't be more excited because as a young attorney, I stumbled upon these books and I started buying them and reading them. And I think it changed the way that I practice. And I'm kind of a fangirl of Mr. Bill Eddy. And today, everybody, Mr. Bill Eddy joins us from sunny San Diego.
And we paid him thousands of dollars in cryptocurrency in order for him to join us today. So, Mr. Bill Eddy, thank you so much for being here.
And thank you so much, but I'm still waiting on that money.
Keep waiting, Mr. Eddy. So you have written many books that have helped so many people who are navigating difficult divorces and actual divorce attorneys who need to deal with difficult people. That's truly why I bought your books, and I have many of them in my bedside table. And, you know, I really appreciate you writing them. But the one we're going to focus on today is the one that I believe has the most special name. It's called Biff, B-I-F-F. So welcome, Bill. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and why you decided to write this book?
Yeah, so I actually was a social worker first and was doing family, child and family counseling. And I really like conflict resolution and decided that I wanted to work with people dealing with court cases, like going through divorces and custody disputes. So I went to law school, became a lawyer, and I thought I was changing careers. But it turned out that I was still doing social work, just with more paperwork. So I was working with clients part of the time, mediation in my office, solving all these custody, parenting, child support, all that stuff, in a couple months maybe, and I'd go to court, and in a couple years we still weren't done because we were having these high conflict cases over the same issue. So it wasn't the issue, it turned out to be the personality, sometimes one, sometimes both parties. And so from that, I started learning, wait, we got to use some counseling methods to calm people down, help them work together. And I was asked at a seminar once, actually by a couple judges, how can we help parents not write these nasty emails? And this was in 2007, so that's like, whoa, way many years ago. And I hadn't thought much about teaching it, but I said, well, you got to tell them to keep it brief, you know, because the more they write, the more trouble they get into. Then you got to keep it informative, just straight information. No arguments, you know, emotions, all that stuff. And it's got to be friendly a little bit, just a little bit, so it's not negative and hooking all the other person in. And it needs to be firm. It needs to end the hostile conversation, not feed it and keep it going. Like, what do you think of that, buddy? That doesn't help calm it down. So that's where Biff came from. We've been teaching it ever since, and now I've got three books out about it, and one of them's for co-parents.
So if we break down the acronym for everybody, just so everyone who's driving in their cars right now on their way to work or to go, you know, egg their ex-husband's house, let's spell it out. So Biff, the B stands for brief, right?
Yes.
Meaning that you want to get to the point, right? There's no point to go on and on and on.
Because when you go on and on and on is when you trigger more conflict. And so we say, try to do a paragraph, you know, like 4 to 6 sentences, and then you're done. And that really helps keep it like maybe a problem-solving communication instead of a nasty gram.
That's exactly right. And in that short paragraph, you want it to be informative, which is the I. Right? So we're sticking to what do we actually need to be communicating about, right?
Yes. And keep in mind, it's an easy way to measure it. Is it about who does what, where, and when?
I like it.
Informative. Because otherwise you're going, no, you're the idiot. You know what you did last year. And I think you're off and running. So keeping it focused, who does what, where, and when? The times, the dates, the who does this, who does that.
Now, this part I really appreciate. The first F in BIF stands for being friendly, which I think is so important because there is no reason to add more fuel to a fire, right? You're always going like attract that bee with honey, be kind, right? You always have the choice to be kind. So be friendly. And then the final one, the final F is to be firm. So give me a little bit more there.
Yeah. So firm doesn't mean harsh. And people often like to, oh, good, I'm going to be real hard on the other person and harsh. It just means end the conversation, end the hostilities so that you're done and not putting any hooks out there to bring them back in. Now, sometimes you need an answer to a question. So what we say is turn that into a simple yes or no question and say, please let me know by such and such date and time. Let me know by Thursday at 5 about that Friday pickup. And so yes or no, if you agree or don't agree. That way it doesn't start a whole new discussion. It's real easy. They can respond, you know, I'd say no to that, but here's another idea, or yes, I'll do that.
So just to reiterate for everybody, it's BIF. It stands for being brief, informative, friendly, but firm.
Yes.
So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And every single piece of this acronym is so important. And it plays such a big role in squashing as much conflict as possible. And I know that Morgan is a huge fan of clients using this because the last thing we want are more people arguing.
I couldn't agree more. And you know what? It leads me into Andrea. Do you want to talk about last season and let Bill in on a little joke of what we did last season that made us think of Bill?
Oh, where this whole thing came from.
Yeah.
So we were recording, I think it was the season finale of season one. It might've been, or maybe it was a different episode. We were joking around somehow passive aggressive. The conversation of passive aggressive text messaging came up and I told a delightful tale of a time when my ex-husband did something that irritated me. So naturally, me being the hilarious person that I am, I clapped back at him with a perfectly crafted yet very passive aggressive GIF. And for those of you who are, you know, a GIF, it's like those animated text messages, like, right? And it was of, I don't know, may or may not have been a topless Seth Rogen riding on a motorcycle, batting his eyes. I found it to be hilarious. And Morgan's like, okay, Andrea, I think I get your joke, but this actually reminds me of a book that I've read. And then she mentioned your book. Mm. And I'm thinking, all right, first of all, you're stepping on my joke here, Morgan. This is not supposed to be a teachable moment, but we actually ended up having this great conversation about what it means to be a BIF. And then the joke came about that Andrea GIFed when she should have BIFed.
That's it.
Right.
I love it. Yep.
And you know, being the voice of reason on our show, I told Andrea that in the future, there's a better way to handle these situations. And in fact, there's two BIF books out on Amazon right now. There's BIF, Quick Responses to High Conflict People. It basically teaches you what the, you know, tenors of BIF are. And then there's BIF, Your Guide to Difficult Co-Parent Text, Emails, and Social Media Posts. I have to admit, at the time that we were joking about BIF, I didn't know that second book existed. But since you have come on the show, Andrea and I have both ordered it. We are both reading it. We both think it's fantastic. So the moral of the story, Andrea, is?
You know what? Don't be a blank, be a BIF. I mean, right? Is that not what we're going for here? Come on, right? I think the moral of the story is that there's always a choice. You always have a choice on how you respond to a situation, right? So what we want everyone to know is like, we're giving you the tools right now, people. This is exactly what you need to do. People listen to the show because they need guidance. So we're doing everything we can to give you as much guidance as possible, but not without entertainment. So Morgan, why don't you tell everybody what's coming up now?
Yeah, so we are going to do a funny kind of reenactment of Biff scenarios coming up with Andrea, the lead comedian and actress. But before we do, one thing you mentioned, Bill, that I just want to kind of touch base on that just caught me, which is so true, which is you kind of said in court where there's high conflict people, everyone thinks it's issues, and these issues are so tough to get through. But really what you said is it's not always the issues, it's typically the personalities. So can you expand on that and give the listeners a little bit of sense besides Biff on tools of like what they can do to think about it's not the issue, it's who the person I'm dealing with.
Yeah, well, the thing is, when you think about it, so many of the difficult issues in court, other people have resolved out of court on their own. You know, we've had like no fault divorce for 50 years. And everyone's in court trying to find fault with the other person. Now, a lot of times one person's reasonable and they're trying to defend and protect themselves, but the other person's, she did this, he did that. And everyone's wondering, you know, is that true? Did that happen? Didn't that happen? And they don't realize that this is a pattern for people. So one thing I suggest in court is that clients and their lawyers present the pattern of behavior so that the judge can see, oh, this is part of who this person is. This isn't like a mistake last week, because judges are used to lecturing people. They go, just cut it out. Stop doing that. Don't do that thing you just did last week. But if the person has a pattern of doing that every week of their adult life, that lecture is not going to mean much. And I see like a lot of custody disputes and all that getting caught up in one incident instead of understanding patterns. And some people have a pattern of really bad behavior and should really be limited in their influence and time. Not excluded, I don't believe in that at all, but I think maybe limited so that they can have a decent influence on the kids rather than overloaded. So the judge needs to know that instead of saying, just cut it out and I believe everything will be fine since I said that.
So I can see Andrea's face over there, you know, kind of grimacing because I know she's dealt with this as well. And I can tell you legally, I've used your Biff responses in so many emails and communications with other attorneys and even clients at times. And it does work. It tones everything down. But I think the best way for our listeners to understand how Biff works is to really see it in action or hear it in action, I should say. So today we've decided to do some reenactments from Mr. Eddy's book, because why not give a former actress and my fellow podcaster the lead in this reenactment? So Andrea is going to read the part of Jenny, who is sending emails to her ex-husband, Julian. And Bill is going to give feedback on effective ways to answer these emails. Okay, Jenny, take it away.
Mm-hmm. A lifetime in preparation for this role. Okay, here we go. Hello, Julian. Well, I guess we're going to have to go back to court. I can't seem to get your attention any other way. You are late all the time with everything. Not only can you not have the children ready to go when I come to pick them up, you can't even get your vacation plans to me by the deadline. And sure, I know. I could have just moved on planning my vacations, but when I do, you throw a fit about not getting to have the vacation times you want on your years. Really? You need to see someone about this. It's a chronic problem that causes you problems everywhere. Didn't you get fired from that one job you had over being late all the time? Doesn't matter. I'm sick of this and I am contacting my attorney. Have a nice day. See you in court.
Very familiar. So what I do is what we call our Biff checker that we have in the book. So we check, is that brief? So let me ask you, Jenny, do you think that was brief?
I'm reading along here in the book, and I see that in the book you checked maybe. I don't even feel like it was brief. I feel like it really, first of all, I think my problem is that it's hard for me to assess brief because it wasn't at all informative. Right. So to me, the briefness is kind of like, well, you didn't really say anything. So what do I care if it was two sentences or 10?
Right. That's why we said.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
Not real grief. No. So do you think it was informative?
Absolutely not.
No, none of that's information. So do you think it was friendly?
Oh, very friendly. My God, Jenny sounds like a lovely chick to hang out with. No, it was not. That girl was going for the I don't know, what's the word? Going for the...
Jugular.
Jugular, thank you. Yeah. Going for the jugular.
Yeah. And then do you think it was firm? Did it end the conversation peacefully?
So this is what's interesting. I think that from Jenny's point of view, she probably thought that she was being firm, right? But she wasn't, because there was nothing that was getting accomplished. This was a rant. This was a rant.
Yeah. Now, I want to ask you three other questions we didn't talk about yet, but this is on the triple A's. So do you think there was any advice in there?
Ooh, triple A's. I like this. Was there advice? Yeah, she was trying to tell him what to do.
Exactly. That's a no-no in a biff. No advice. How about admonishments, talking down like to a child?
Oh, of course. It's all that it was.
Dripping with admonishments.
Yeah.
Now, here's the tricky one. This one is apologies. We don't want apologies in biff responses.
Why? This is...
Why do we not want to apologize?
So this is real tricky. So when you think about it, with most people, apologies may be really helpful. And I love apologies. But with potentially high conflict people, they use it as ammunition against you. And they have a lot of all or nothing thinking. So if you say, I'm sorry, I was 2 minutes late yesterday, what they hear is it's all your fault and you agree with them. That's what they think you're saying. See, I did something wrong and now they've got you.
So I am
rather
shocked.
Than doing that. And I think of a case I had. It was actually a victim of domestic violence. And she wrote this note to her husband saying, I'm sorry I don't clean better. I'm sorry I don't cook better. I'm sorry I'm sire. Anyway, one day they were in a mediation. They both agreed and it was screened, so it was safe. But he pulls out that note, the I'm sorry note, and says, remember what you admitted, it was your fault. Our problems are all your fault.
Yeah.
So that's why apologies turn out to not be a good idea with high conflict people. And if you're not sure, you know, don't put it in a biff. Maybe fit it in somewhere else.
It's interesting. And I, for everyone who knows me and follows my story personally, I left a very complicated marriage where there was a lot of this stuff going on. And you do realize that getting into a pattern of apologizing is not working towards a true solution. You think that you're putting out a fire, but you're really not. So guys, oh my gosh, how many times, I mean, you guys need this book. That's all I have to say. Okay, should we read the next email that Jenny sends?
Sure.
To Julian. Okay, here we go. So guys, now she tried again. She took a pill. She did some meditation. Here we go. Julian, I hope you are doing well. I am trying to make plans for time off with Julie and Jack this summer, along with summer camps and the other activities. I noticed in reviewing our parenting plan that this is your year to choose vacation times first. I will need to see yours before I can provide my dates to you in 13 days. I propose that you email your vacation dates to me no later than this coming Friday, March 5th at midnight. Regardless, I will provide you with my vacation dates by March 15th at midnight, and I expect that they will be honored. Thank you for helping me make my plans with the kids this summer. Be well, Jenny.
Okay, so let's do a quick through that. Was that brief?
I mean, I guess. She's obnoxious. Can I just say this? Jenny, I want to like shake her. I'm going to shake her and tell her to get her act together. Okay. I'll say that she was brief. Fine.
Relatively. Was she informative?
Yes.
Relatively. Yeah. Was she friendly?
No. She was fake friendly, but she wasn't really friendly. She does not hope that he's doing well. I'll tell you that much.
Okay. And was it firm that it ended the hostile conversation?
again, I think that she thinks that she is, but what she did the whole thing, I mean, it was dripping with admonishments. Like, you have to do this way. Email me by midnight. I mean, like, I don't want to get into like hot water or legal trouble with my personal situation, but this is feeling very familiar to me. Like all these demands, do this by this time, send a red dove to my front door and have it knock 3 times. And then I will respond with a, like, come on, people.
Okay. You know? Well, let's give it one last shot then. Can you trim it back a little for her?
Oh, Jenny, come on. Okay. Now she tried again. Julian, I hope you are doing well. I am trying to make plans for time off with Julie and Jack this summer, along with their summer camps and other activities. I noticed in reviewing our parenting plan that this is your year to choose vacation times first. I propose that you email your vacation dates to me no later than this coming Friday, March 5th at midnight. I will provide you with my vacation dates by March 15th at midnight. Thank you for helping me make my plans with the kids this summer. Be well, Jenny.
I like it, Jenny, getting it together over there.
There we go.
I mean, it's still better. I think Jenny still needs work personally, but yes, she wasn't being so bossy.
Right.
There wasn't so much of that extra information that we really didn't need.
Yep. That's the thing. And just keep it really, and brief is just such an important part to start with, is trim everything you can out of it. And it's like pouring cold water on the flames. You talked about apologies putting out the flames, but they feed the fire. This just puts cold water on the flames and you're done.
Exactly. And
maybe she didn't need to do as many of where did that go? It's, you know, be well, all that. Maybe she
got
a little. But I think overall, that gets the point, and there was no admonishment. So,
yes.
You know what I like about it, Bill, is I like that the main takeaway from Biff overall in your book, and just so our listeners know, the book has so much more good information for you that will just be eye-opening. But the main takeaway from Biff is to get your point across, but not add fuel to the fire. But at the end of it, it just cuts it off. Like, there's no more communication on this. This is what I need, and respond. Goodbye.
Right. It kind of goes back to what Bill said before, like keeping it to like the who, what, when, where, like, what do we need to do? You know, like it's about, and we've talked about this with so many other people, Morgan, it's like with the business of co-parenting, what do you have to talk about? You're talking about your children. So let's solve the problem. What do we need to know? Who needs to do what and when, and then be done. There's no need to get into like, this is why you got fired that one time from this job. There's no need for it. Look, because you're not married to that person anymore. You're done with that.
Bill, do you agree?
Exactly. Nothing left to prove. Don't try to prove anything.
I love this. I feel like we could go on forever talking about this and read so many more examples. But
let me just mention in here, at the end of the book is a chart of 28 examples. And page numbers, so that any conversation, whether it's about lateness, doctors, school, changing the schedule, birthday party, we've got a Biff for it. And so just so you know, you have a lot there.
Well, Bill, on that same note, if you know Andrea and I and our podcast, How Not to Suck at Divorce, you know that we love to shake things up and maybe not always give our person who's coming on, such as you, some advanced warning of what we want to do. So we've loved your Biff stories, but we're going to give you a Biff story and we want you to answer it for us. So I'm going to give you an email that I'm going to say I made up, but I may or may not have received it from a client. I'm going to change the names here. And then, Bill, I want you to Biff. Are you ready?
Sure.
Oh, God, am I ready?
Here we go. Dear Harold, you think you're so smart. I caught you with Phyllis. You're a dirty, lying cheat. And now I'm going to email your entire company so that they know what a scumbag you are. Go yourself, yours truly, Shirley. Go, Bill.
Well, the first question is, do you even need to respond? And I don't see anything in here. I don't see a question. I don't see information. I don't see anything. And in fact, when we wrote this Biff for Co-Parents book, one of my co-authors suggested that you rewrite the email you get and see if there's anything in there to respond with a Biff to. And yep. I don't see anything in there. So my inclination would be not to respond at all. Now, of course, the temptation would be, and I suggest you do this in handwriting so you don't actually hit send, and that is go F yourself, Shirley.
And that's, yes!
That's brief, right?
That is so brief.
That's informative.
Yep. How friendly is that though, Bill? What if you added a please? You could add a please before it. Kindly go. Yeah.
But after that period, after you say that, you sure cut it off. There's no other response.
And firm, what can she say to that? Well, the problem is she'll say it back again.
That's so true.
There'll be no end to that. And that's why I'd say in that case, you don't even need to send a response. And that's not easy to do, but sometimes that's really, you know, just hold back. The other thing, if you're not sure, get someone else's opinion on it.
I want to know, how old are these clients of yours, Harold and Shirley? Where'd you pull them? When are these I Love Lucy names coming from?
They came from the internet or the intrawebs because I wanted some old school names so that I could really mask who I received those for. But I'm going back to the Biff book because, you know, you kind of touched on it just now, Bill. And one of the things that I love in your book, it relates to not only divorce, but it relates to our, you know, social media and just life right now, which is, you say scientifically, our brains are wired to pay more attention to high conflict, period, end of story. And I know that is true because when there's high conflict in my cases, I know my brain is going to that. It makes you crazy at times. But you say in your book that if you pay attention to it, it makes it worse. So my question to you is, can we teach our brains to do better? And if so, how do we do it?
Totally about practice. Practice, repetition. The more Biffs you write, the easier it is to Biff. And now it's a Biff, now it's a verb and a noun. But it's totally about practice. And I'd say I'm writing better Biffs now than ever before, unfortunately, because I have to write a lot of them. And that's what, you know, lawyers get them sent to them. As you know, Morgan, opposing counsel can be a source of many high conflict emails and hostile emails. So yeah, it's totally about practice. And that's why in the book, we have that Biff checker. So people get used to asking themselves, is it brief, informative, friendly, and firm? Is there advice, admonishments, apologies? So that you get used to that as a routine. And I have to tell you a quick story. I once wrote a letter to the other lawyer, and before I sent it to my client, said, is there anything else I need to include here? And because I thought there was another issue there might be. And he writes back, nothing to add, but Bill, you've got a sentence in there. If I had written it, you would tell me to take it out. And I'd say, which sentence? And he shows me in the middle, and it's like, oh my goodness, I let this nasty thing slip out that I didn't even notice.
Oh, wow.
Well, my client was right. He caught me and helped me not send something that wasn't a Biff. So it's practice, and the more the world does Biffs, the easier it will be for everybody.
More Biffs, less blankets. I can say it. More Biffs, less bitches. There you go.
Right? More Biffs, less gifts.
Well, gifts still bring joy. I don't know. I stand by my gift bit, but I don't think we ever need to be a bitch. We just don't. Be kind. Choose kindness. Bill, holy cow. What you have offered our listeners in this, I don't even know how long we've been chatting, it's so valuable. So truly, thank you for being here, because I know that everyone who heard this episode is going to walk away with more information in their minds than what they started with. So that is just amazing. Guys,
you need to order this book. We will have a link to it in our show notes, but you can go, Bill, where do you suggest they go? Do you suggest Amazon?
Anywhere. We're happy to support independent bookstores, Amazon, our website. You can go there. We have a bookstore in the menu. So anywhere, it's easy to find. And I might mention it's been number one on Amazon in the separation and divorce family law category most of the last 18 months. And it was last week. I don't know if it is today, but if it isn't, it'll be again tomorrow.
It's well, probably because I've ordered all of them. And I just
that's it.
Hey, listen, and we love ranking over here. We are happy to have a number one book on our number two rated Apple show in the category of divorce. So look at us here. We're a couple of heavy hitters. Bill, if people want to pay you hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars of whatever they have in cryptocurrency to know everything about your life, where can they go online to find you and learn more?
They come to our website, highconflictinstitute.com. That's www.highconflictinstitute.com. We've got video training, books, free articles, and consultation. That's what I do. I usually don't, I haven't been taking it in cryptocurrency though. I must admit. But it's there. I love doing consultations with individuals, also with lawyers, and sometimes lawyers and clients together. So happy to do that.
Guys, there's so much more to be learned here. Thank you. Thank you so much for spending this time with us today. I feel like I've learned so much. Morgan's learned. We've all learned. We're going to go out and be better biffs.
Better biffers.
Better biffers.
Thanks, Bill. Okay. That was kind of mind-blowing. And I want to hear from you, Andrea, because I mean, this is something you could use in your everyday life with what you're going through. What do you think about it?
Obviously, we prepped for this interview, right? So I ordered the book. I was reading through everything, not only for my big, role play scene moment, but just to read. And as you're reading it, you're learning, but it was a whole other thing to have this conversation with him and to learn, I think we all know that we have to diffuse a situation, right? And I think that it's just so helpful to have this acronym that we can hold on to keep us accountable for, what we should do and how we should do it. And I love the part about being friendly. I have to say, I do think that kindness matters. And I think that it is important to be friendly, obviously not over the top, I think it's great.
Love it. I feel like you're in just a happy place today. I love it. I love happy Andrea. If you guys can see her right now, she's got good hair going on. She's got good makeup. She's just exuding this confidence today. I'm loving it. So I think that just brings us right into decline to comment. Are you ready for this?
I like how that brings us into decline to comment. As if you're I'm not about to ask you why you're in a good mood today.
or you can tell us why you're in such a good mood today.
Honestly, I'm faking it until I make it. I decided I have a whole day worth of work. And we talked about last week, I'm a little bit overwhelmed with stuff. So I decided I'm pushing through. I'm going to put on makeup. I have to do it. So here I am. I am smiling and we're going to decline to comment.
Okay. I'm ready to go first. Are you ready?
Yep. Let's do it.
Okay. What would you say your useless talent is?
Imitations.
If you had to have 100 cats or 100 dogs in your house, which one would you choose?
Dogs. Cats are so stupid.
What's your favorite smell?
I was going to say brownies, baking, and roses.
Now that's a weird combo, but moving on. Song that you would play to start a party, a good party.
Oh, gosh. Something Pitbull.
Ooh, I like that. And then finally, what is a sport that would be really funny if you drank during it?
Well, you mean playing it?
Yes, while you're playing a sport.
Well, I don't know anything about sports, but like I would say dodgeball. But I love playing dodgeball with my kids, but they don't know that I'm playing dodgeball with them. I just like to throw things at them, like softballs. And when it hits them, it makes me laugh.
Oh my gosh.
I'm a good mom. Okay. It's your turn, my friend. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Comment. What are you currently binge watching?
SpaceX documentary and all the other ones on Netflix. It's mind blowing.
SpaceX?
Yes. I am a nerd at heart. You know that about me.
Man, I thought you were going to say Selling Sunset. Thought we were going to have something in common. Who makes your favorite bronzer?
Charlotte Tilbury.
Ah, good one. Which part of the BIF acronym do you think it would be the hardest for you to use?
Ooh, me to use on clients or on opposing counsel?
Anywhere. Like which part of being brief, informative, friendly, or firm do you think would be the toughest for you?
I think firm would be the toughest because sometimes it's hard to end firm without making people a little bit agitated.
I agree with that. Margarita, salt or no salt?
Salt, 100%.
And have you ever done a juice cleanse?
Once. It was a horrible idea. I'll never do that again.
There you have it, folks. You did not decline to comment today. Congratulations.
Thank you so, so much. So everyone, this was a great episode, lots of information, and know that we absolutely love and appreciate every single one of you. We know that divorce is hard. We know it's draining, and we know that the unknown can feel scary. Our goal is to offer some guidance and sometimes some humor so that you can get through this with us at your side.
That's right, guys. So if you want a little bit more humor or a little bit more guidance, please, number one, check out our website if you haven't already. It's www.hownottosuckatdivorce.com. And for guidance, go over to Instagram and follow Morgan at
Divorce Attorney Chicago.
And for some levity, come follow me at the Andrea Rappaport.
And if you do this, that will probably help you ultimately not suck at divorce. But everyone, tell your friends, tell your book club, tell your ex about our show. We don't care because we're here to help everyone.
That's true, you guys. And remember, sometimes when dealing with divorce, it is day by day.
Or hour by hour. But remember this, you've got this and we have you.